So I want us to firstly start looking at our scripture that we've been using as our keynote for the last few weeks in the book of Jude. Somebody from Joyce Meyer's ministry was here last week when Terry Savelle Foy was preaching here, and it greatly encouraged me. She said that she had never heard any message at all on contending for our faith. And she said she looked online after she heard part one of Contend for Your Faith, and she couldn't find anyone else who had preached on such a thing. And to me, you know, when God gives you something and it's just standard, and you don't know that no one else has it, if you see what I mean. And so that really blessed my heart. So you're in good company today. Amen. Praise the living God. Jude, verse number 3. The book of Jude, verse 3. It says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed down to all the saints." Praise the living God. That's Jude verse 3. Very important thing, because it shows us that the Bible says in Timothy, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." So faith is what? A fight. If you're going to do anything by faith, you're going to be involved in a fight. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's a fight. Get used to it. Hallelujah. Number 2, the Bible says that faith is a contest. So you could say that our faith, exercising and living by our faith, is like stepping into a ring with Mr. Klitschko. Hallelujah. Well, we all know how that ended up. So we're in good company. Praise God Almighty. So now I want us to look at the 3 master plans for your enemy. Because if faith is a contest, it's going to be a contest in one of these areas. Let me say it again. If faith is a contest, it is going to be a contest in one of these 3 areas. And turn with me now to Mark chapter 4. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture in the whole Bible. Jesus himself said that this particular scripture was what he called the gateway scripture to every other parallel truth in the Bible. So turn to your neighbor and tell him, this is important. You see, if Jesus said it's important, then it's going to be important, right? You know, you can have all sorts of stuff grabbing your attention. How many of you know life's busy, right? London must be one of the foremost distraction centers in the world because it's so busy. You get to London and you feel like you're drowning sometimes, right? Bills, I mean, you name it, stuff coming in, it's like, you know, not even the water is free. It tastes disgusting as well. They say it's been recycled 7 times. Thames water. Yeah. Anyway, you've got to believe God for your health. Your health is a contest. Amen. You're contending with sickness and disease and all sorts of stuff. Right. So Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 13. Mark 4, verse 13. And he said to them, now this is his disciples. It's a very interesting thing that Jesus did. And I want to set the background here this morning behind this scripture. Jesus walks out into the midst of a multitude of people. And he says, "Brothers and sisters, I've got something to say to you. Behold, a sower went to sow, and some of the seed fell on the wayside. Some of it fell on the rocky places. Some of it fell among the weeds, and other seed fell upon good ground. Thank you. God bless you, and good night." And he disappears. He walks off what would have been his platform then, probably a rock somewhere out in the midst of the wilderness. And the Bible says that the multitudes didn't understand it. He took aside his disciples. And he said this. He said, right. He said, now, to you. Now, think how Jesus himself, the Messiah, the anointed one, Adonai, bigs up this scripture. He's never said anything about any other scripture or any other thing that's come out of his mouth in such a magnitude. He says, Do you not understand this parable? Now, a parable is just basically a parallel truth, right? He then says, how then will you understand all the parables? In other words, this parable that I'm giving you here is the gateway parable to all the other things. If you can get this one, you're sorted. As they say in Ghana, agbina, sorted, finished, done, right? And then he goes on to explain. He says, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God in verse 11. To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's a mystery. The kingdom of heaven, you see, is a mystery. It's a mysterious thing. In fact, you know, I'm not even sure. Well, okay, let me put it this way. I've not met anyone yet who understands the mystery of how a seed gets planted in the ground and grows. That's how I know that seeds didn't evolve. Not only does the Bible say that God gave Adam every herb-bearing seed, right? So God gave it to man. It wasn't something that evolved out. Because how does a seed evolve? There's no such thing as the evolution of seeds. There's no such thing as the evolution of trees. There's no such thing as the evolution of birds. Let me prove it to you. Which bird has ever seen its mother build a nest? None. Are you quiet because you're thinking, or you're quiet because you think I'm nuts? I can't quite. Okay. Let's move on. He says this. He says, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, everything is in parallel truths. Why? Verse 12, in order that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And then he takes out the three examples, the three, if you like, master plans of the devil, right? And he says that the first one we'll look at is in verse number 14. Now, remember what I'm talking to you about. I'm talking to you about contending for your faith. Keep that in mind, right? Let me use the example of promotion. How many of you enjoy promotion? How many of you here, you'll be straight and honest with me, you've never been promoted in your life? Ever. Anyone here, you've never ever been promoted? Please, I want honesty because I want to help you here, because this could be your gateway. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Right. Two. Great. Now, okay. Let's use promotion as an example, right? Let's say you're going to believe God for promotion. Now, this could be anything that pertains to salvation, healing, prosperity, or ambassadorship, because Jesus Christ died and shed his blood for all four things, right? Okay, this is how to go about it. Number one, work out, is it in the Bible for me to be promoted? Is it in the Bible? Okay, shout me some scripture that pertains to promotion. Say again.
Head and not the tail.
That you'll be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers, right? Okay, next one. Say again. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Great. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. But God is the judge. He puts one up and he puts another down. Any idea where that is? And don't say the Bible. What is it? Psalm 78? Something like that? Right. It says somewhere in the scripture. That's good enough for Paul the Apostle, and the Holy Spirit is good enough for us. Amen. Promotion doesn't come from... How about this one? No good thing shall he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Is promotion a good thing? Yes. It's nice, that feeling you get when you, what's that song? Giant steps are what you take. That's what it's like when you come out of some sort of interview for a promotion and you've been promoted. Or like, you know, you feel like dancing in the rain, for those of you who are older and like Gene Kelly and stuff like that, right? Okay, so singing in the rain, yeah. So there, or what's that new one now? Singing in the shower, la-da-dee, la-da-dee. Okay, all right, we'll move on. Okay, all right. Okay, so now, so let's establish it that promotion is a good thing. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, right, because it's in the Bible. Right? The Bible says that God is light and in him there is no shadow of turning or variation whatsoever. So if promotion was a good thing under the old covenant and it hasn't been cancelled in the new, it must mean that we are entitled to it. Amen. I really want to establish this because if you're believing God to get promoted, then there's certain things that could eradicate or cancel your promotion. Right. Okay, that's the number one. Now, look at your first master plan of the enemy in relation to promotion, right? He says here in verse 14, the sower sows the word. So we've just sown the word. We have established that promotion is a good thing. Right, next verse. These are the ones whom beside the road where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Now, he compared this to the birds of the air swooping down and stealing the seed and flying away, right? Satan swallows the word. That's what he feeds on, the word that was intended for us, the word that was intended for us to bring us salvation, to bring us healing, to bring us prosperity, to bring us ambassadorship. Satan himself eats the thing and flies off, right? Now, if you look, we haven't got time to go into it, but let me give you an edited version. You can take notes. If you're taking notes, write down these two scriptures, Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8, because the exact same scripture, the parable of the sower, is explained in Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 8. In this very scripture in Matthew 13, the Lord himself talks about an understanding heart. He says this, and these are they who have no understanding. So the first master plan of the devil for anybody's life is ignorance. Ignorance is the number one. In fact, you could put it this way. This is how God showed it to me. Ignorance is Satan's runway. He swoops down like a bird coming into land, sees the seed on the runway, zoop. Why? The seed hasn't gone down into the ground. And these are they who have no understanding. So an understanding heart should be the first recipient of God's word. Are we there so far? Okay, this is like real, like, teach me the word. Teach me how to get anything that pertains to life and godliness. If it's going to be by faith, it's going to be a fight. If it's going to be by faith, it's going to be a contest. If it's going to be by faith, it's got to get ignorance out of our lives. So we've got to know the word. We've got to know that God is for us. When we go into that place for that job interview or that promotion or that next step or the opportunity to open our business or the opportunity for our children to get into good schools or good universities, we've got to know that God is for us. You can't go into that thing thinking that God is across the way and he's against you. Or we can't go into a situation like that in an ambiguous way. Do you know what I mean by ambiguity? Ambiguity. The Lord said this to me one time. He said, ambiguity is the devil's playground. If I don't know whether God will heal me or not, it's very easy for the devil to keep me sick. Very easy. If I don't know whether God is for my prosperity, it's very easy for the devil to keep me poor. Very easy. If I know that God is with me in this fight, then I can punch way above my weight. May you punch above your weight in the name of Jesus Christ. If I don't know that my life has relevance because God says it has relevance, if I don't know that he's the one who lifted me from the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and put a new song in my mouth, then what right have I to sing it? Good preaching, Pastor Pete. So we've got to know. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, know that God is with you. Can you imagine the state of Moses if he hadn't known that God was with him? You read that thing in Exodus very, very carefully, where he's got Pharaoh and his army behind him and the Red Sea in front of him. You'll know that there was a point where Moses was unsure. Because he says, stand still and we'll see the glory of the Lord. And the very next verse, the Lord says to him, why are you sniveling to me? What have you got in your hand? Lift it up and declare something. Amen. Praise God. This stuff is very, very intensely nuclear powerful. And the first thing that can kill it is ignorance and ambiguity. Ignorance is the number one plan, the number one master plan for the devil in our lives. If you don't know what the word says, if you find it difficult to agree with the word, if you're unsure and, well, have you ever met anyone who's like that? Well, I'm not sure. Well, what's that in your hand? It's a holy Bible. Blood was shed so that that thing could be in your hands. Pick it up, read it, and believe it. Wow, I don't know what's in me. Maybe it was my wife is away or something, and I don't know. I've gone all aggressive since she's gone or something. Vivian's nodding her head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, right, let me put it this way. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers what? See, it doesn't suffer ambiguity. It doesn't suffer que sera, sera. It doesn't suffer this, well, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Here's my faith concerning my health and well-being. Here's my faith concerning my prosperity. Here's my faith concerning my ambassadorship and my salvation, right? Here it is on the line. If I was the only person on earth that God would heal, so be it. God can refuse point blank to heal everybody else on the planet Earth. I'm still getting healed. Why? Because I believe his word. He shed the blood of his own son to bring this into being. That I, with a good, as the Bible says in Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8, a good and understanding heart. So what is it? There's no fault in the seed. The seed will plant wherever it finds the right medium. Do you remember that story in Egypt when they first found the pyramids? You know, they found the secret compartments. A guy called Howard Carter in the early 1900s found these secret compartments in the pyramids at Giza in Egypt. And they found wheat seeds that had been buried under the ground for probably 4,000 years. In a secret burial chamber for one of the pharaohs. And they took one of those seeds out and they planted it and it grew. Isn't that amazing? All it was waiting for 4,000 years, was the right medium. And these are they with a good and understanding heart. You see, this thing is a heart thing. The Bible says faith is of the heart. It says, with the heart man believes, right? So as long as our heart is right, the word will grow. As long as our heart is right, the word will produce results. Some of us are living in it. I know the testimony of so many of you here. It's a powerful one. Right, okay. So we've established that ignorance is Satan's runway. Ignorance is where the word was sown initially. I remember, and there's some people, oh my gosh, I don't know what it's like for you, but I used to preach the gospel a lot in the west of Ireland. And I used to preach to some of my extended family members. And, you know, there were some people, it was like they were baptized in ignorance. I wouldn't know one end of the Bible from the other. And it was so annoying sometimes. You know, they'd say to me, yeah, but you see, you can only believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. Do you ever hear that one? And that was their down-pat, straight answer to anything when I was sharing the word of God with them. And I thought, you know what? This thing's no good. I'm sowing the word, and the birds are coming down, sweeping the thing. No use. No use. Bible says the word preach didn't profit them because it was met with unbelief. And that word unbelief is apatheia, apathy, whatever. So ambiguity, apathy, and ignorance are three main enemies that are all wrapped up in this one word, ignorance. Ignorance is our number one enemy. The Bible says, you see, right, what is ignorance? Ignorance is spiritual darkness, right? And the Bible says that the entrance of his word brings light. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, darkness is the default. You see, darkness isn't some big creepy thing that comes out at night on the horror channel. You understand? No, darkness is ignorance of God's word, because the entrance of his word brings light. So darkness is the default, right? All of us, the Bible says, dwelt in darkness at one time or another, spiritual ignorance. But the moment the light of God's word came on, wow, I can believe something. Are you getting me? It's so, so important we understand. So all we need to do is get the word. So let's go back to our example. Believe in God's word for promotion. We've got the word now, right? We heard those things. No good thing, the Bible says, shall he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning or variation whatsoever. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but God is the judge. He puts one down, he raises another up. I'm his child, he's going to raise me up. And anyone can say amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so that's ignorance. Right. Now, here's the key. Does it fit into any of those four boxes? Does promotion fit into salvation, healing, prosperity, or ambassadorship? Okay, whereabouts? Prosperity and ambassadorship, because you gain influence the more promoted you are. Amen. Anyone disagree with it? It's basic, like, you know. Okay, great. Let's move on then. Okay, the next one, he says, verse number 16. And in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places. Say rocky places. Now, the rocky places are the following, right? He says, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. Wow, God wants me promoted. God wants me promoted. La, la, la. Any Millwall fans in the house? No, I thought not. No, they're very hard to find. Okay. They just got promoted yesterday. That's all. And I wish Jason was here so I could take the mic. Because anyway, he says, the seed was sown in the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Verse 17. And they have no firm root in themselves. In other words, there's soil there, but it's not very deep. There's understanding there, but it's not very deep. There's goodness there, but it's not very deep. Do you remember a good and understanding heart, right? Okay. They have no firm root in themselves. Well, what happens, Pastor P? Right. But they are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, you see, Satan's still out to get the word, right? He snatched it on the runway of the first person because ignorance is the easiest feast table for the devil, right? The next one is a bit more difficult because there's some depth of understanding. There's some depth of goodness. But what? Immediately, when persecution and affliction arise, what? Because we're so great? No. No, it says, when persecution and affliction arise for the word's sake. Look what happens here. It says, immediately they fall away. How many of you, your Bible says, immediately they become offended? They become offended. That's what it literally says in the Greek. Immediately, they are caused to stumble. Yeah? Stumbling, offense. Offendability is the number two master plan for the devil to succeed in our lives, right? Let me use this as an example. Thank you. right? I'm believing God for promotion. I'm sitting here in the interview. Now tell me, Mr. Norton, how was your education? Well, I didn't really have much of an education, but I'm a hardworking guy. And tell me, where did you grow up? In the Cotswolds? No. I grew up in Tottenham, in London, N15. You know how we roll. Now, okay, Mr. Norton. Well, thank you ever so much. We'll be in touch. Right. Now, you get the letter, right? Dear Mr. Norton, sorry. You don't really fit the profile of somebody we're looking for. We're not even sure if we can trust you with our company car. Because the last one that we sent to N15 ended up on blocks with the window smashed and the stereo was gone. No stereotypes here, folks. I'm just teaching history here, right? Okay, so then, you see, I could say, you see, God doesn't want me promoted. God doesn't want me this. God doesn't want me that. And I could start cursing my own miracle out of my mouth. Why? Because that promotion didn't work. Now, I'm using promotion because it's a fairly benign thing, right? But it could be anything. It could be any of the things that God has promised us. The Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, how has he given them? In seed form. Everything that God does, he does by a seed. Everything. So he gives these things to us in seed form. Our job is to plant it in a good and understanding heart that's, number one, free of ignorance, and number two, free of offendability. How many of you here are offendable? You guys are honest. We had this discussion in Life Changers because I thought I was going to be ministering on this today. And I thought to myself, I said, you know what? I said, I bet you about 90% of the people in the house won't put up their hands when I ask them whether they're easily offendable. I didn't say easily. Okay. But we'd agree probably a majority of us are offendable. Okay. Thank God for your honesty, and I'm feeling I'm in the right place, man. I completely I underestimated your integrity. I apologize and I repent in Jesus' name. Right, now, this was the test that the Lord gave me, because we were talking about this on the way home after Terry Saville Foy ministered on Tuesday, and she was talking about 30 days without complaining. And then I was talking about the connection between offendable people and complainers. They're generally in the same category. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, are you a complainer? Are you a whinger? Okay, you may be offendable. And this was the test. This was the test that God gave me, right? He said this. He said, if you are upset for a person for more than 2 days, then chances are you're offendable. Let me say it again. It's gone so quiet. I can hear the cogs in your brain. It's like, someone's nudging their husband saying, that's you, dog. I knew it. I'm glad I brought you here. Okay. If you've been upset with somebody for more than 2 days in the past couple of years, then chances are you're still offendable. Right, now here's the problem, right? Offendability can cost you your blessing. So which would you rather be? Would you rather say, Lord God, work on my heart? Work on the soil of my heart. Turn over. You see, he talks about the rocky soil. The rocky soil. Now, rocks are a very, very interesting thing. Anyone ever studied wineries and vineyards and stuff? One of the ancient vineyards of the world is a place called Chateau Neuf du Pape. Have you ever heard of it? Chateau Neuf du Pape. It's a good wine. And that wine region in France, there's a few things that can affect whether it's a vintage year or not. One of them is the number of electrical storms that they have that year. Somehow it affects the grapevines. But also, number two, and this is where it gets very interesting. When I heard this, because we were on a tour in, 2006 or something. We stopped off at Chateau Neuf du Pape to see the actual wineries growing. It's quite remarkable. And I would encourage you to study things like that, because I got into that because Jesus was saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. So I learned all about vine dressing and how to grow grapes and about how to lift up branches and cut others off and what to look for and all that kind of thing. Really, really fascinating. But there's a thing about rocky soil. If you go to Chateau Neuf du Pape, the soil is very rocky. And I asked the guy, I said, is it deliberate? He said, oh yes. He says, but it's rocky only at a very shallow level. He says, the soil underneath where the stones are is very good soil. He says, but the stones, now listen to this. He said, the stones help to preserve the warmth of the sun in the winter. So the sun will shine on the stones, and then the stones will be like radiators for the rest of the day and keep the roots of the wine, of the vineyard, warm, right? And the Lord spoke to me. The moment I heard that, God spoke to me. He said this, you see, because rocky soil, if that soil was rocky all the way through, it wouldn't be any good for growing wines. But if the past offenses, if the remnants of the past offenses are still there, and you've got a good forgiving heart, when the sun of God's love shines on those stones of those memories, of those things where people hurt you, where people betrayed you. I mean, if you've been alive more than 10 years or 5 years, really, because it starts in the creche, doesn't it, or the playground, two kids fighting over a toy, one kid bashes the other kid, job done, you know, the rest is history, right? But if our forgiving heart, when we recall such things, we can recall the blessing, the favor, and the mercy and the goodness of God, and even re-forgive those people concerned, it's like they will help to keep the roots of the Word of God growing in us warm. Isn't that good? You might need to hear this over and over again, because I'm telling you something. If Jesus himself called this the Keystone Parable, then, dude, we've got to know this thing backwards. We've got to know it upside down. We've got to know it top to bottom and bottom to top. We've got to know it in Luke 8. We've got to know it in Matthew 13. We've definitely got to know it in Mark 4. I mean, this thing will help us if we can study this thing out and get the richness of the Word of God on the inside of us. It will really help. Okay, he says, they have no firm root in themselves but are only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the Word, immediately they fall away. They stumble. They get offended, the Bible says, and fall away. Right. Okay, now, number three. In fact, did I get all out number two? Because God was very... Yes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this. If you're offendable, you're reachable. In other words, the enemy can reach that which you're believing God for and pluck it out of your life. If you're offendable, you're reachable. Okay, now we can move on. Next verse. Are you enjoying, is this too deep for a Sunday morning, or it's like, okay, great, 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 praise God. Verse number 18, and others are the ones. Can you see why there's not much manifestation of the Word of God in people's lives to the volume that you would expect? Because if you can take a profile of people and think, you know, do they suffer from ambiguity disease? I don't know any other way to put it. Do they, you know, just argue the word instead of taking it like a seed and planting it in your heart. And then you look at people who are just downright ignorant. Lord Jesus. I remember one time we were ministering in Burnt Oak, doing street outreach. Heaven, Jesus, thank you for rescuing us from Burnt Oak. And sorry, if you still live there, please forgive me. Do you still live there, Joel? Oh, no, you moved to Arlesden. Hey! Okay, I'm safe. Joel's about 6'8" and ruster looking, so I was going to run out the fire exit if I'd offended Burnt Oak, but now I'm cool. Great. We were up in Burnt Oak ministering, street outreach, etc., etc. And I was speaking to a woman, and obviously, you know, she was probably as poor as a human being could live without starving. You know, she had a grey tracksuit top and bottom on, shoes that were falling to bits, and just, you know, kind of like little bag in her hand. And anyway, and I said to her, I said, God's got a plan for your life. I said, you know, I would have grown up this way. But God rescued me, put his hand on my life. And I started, telling her about everything that he's done, the goodness of the Lord. And I said, would you like to know Jesus? She said, no, thanks. And carried on walking. Oh, my gosh, man. You know, just when you think you're getting somewhere, it reminds me of Roro's story with the woman just down the road here. Roro was doing some evangelism with leaflets out around the Wembley area. And she saw this Vietnamese lady walking towards her, you know. And she said, oh, can I stop you for a minute? Can I talk to you about the Lord? And she started speaking for about 3 minutes, you know. And then the lady said, 1 minute. And she ran off into the bushes behind the flats where Roro was ministering to her. She comes back with this plastic bag. She goes, DVD? that's what she wanted. Ah, mercy. Somehow, we keep going. Amen. Faith is a fight. Faith is a contest. Can you say amen? Verse 18, others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word, and it becomes fruitful. Now, this is the seed. Becomes unfruitful. Now, these are the ones where the Bible says that the thorns grew up and the thistles and choked out the word, and it became unfruitful. Here's an interesting thing, right? Because at face value, it looked like something was happening. The first one, the seed gets swallowed. The second one, the seed gets destroyed. But the third one, the seed actually grows, but it doesn't produce anything. Because the plant that's supposed to produce the word, i.e. the word of God is sown, the word's doing its job, right? The word of God is doing its job in the person's heart. But the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things are entering in, the Bible says, choking out the word, and it is becoming unfruitful. So on the surface, it looks great, but there's nothing happening in terms of testimony. And to me, this is where a huge number of people in the body of Christ reside. Because being free of worries is a daily fight. Anyone like gardening here? Do you like gardening? I really love gardening. I love time in my garden, just pottering around. There's this stuff that you can get called bindweed. It looks like ivy, and it's like, or chokeweed, they call it sometimes. I don't know what other people call it. Is there another name for it? My mum used to call it bindweed. And it just keeps coming up. You know that thing? And it's like to produce anything in a garden where there's bindweed, or there's another one now that invaded, Japanese knotweed. That thing is a real no-no. Huh? It's really horrible. Just choke out anything in your garden, right? Now, here's the thing. If you're going to grow the word, what you're growing needs daily maintenance. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, put it this way in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, I planted, talking about the seed of the church, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. I'm growing tomatoes right now in my little utility room at the back of my house, and they need daily watering. They need daily weeding because there's stuff in seed form in the compost that you get that still is producing weeds, and it's exactly like that in the human heart. Worries. How many of you fight worries on a daily basis? I fight worries all the time. Worries try to come up. Well, so-and-so, why isn't so-and-so back from there? Why isn't such and such there? Who's looking after such and such? Oh, I hope so and so is okay. What if this? What if that? What if the other? What you going to do? 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 There's parking issues over at Wembley Stadium. What you going to do? What you going to do? What you going to do? If there's a big flood of rain, the building might get flooded. What are you going to do? What you going to do? What you going to do? What you going to do? Cares. What the Greek word there is a word merimna, very powerful word, merimna. Something. You think about how powerful God is, and you think about how powerful His word is. But yet His word in our hearts can be killed by worry. Wow. Wow. So is there anyone else? I don't know, maybe it was my Catholic background or whatever, but I was a serial worrier. It's a fight. Do you remember what we're talking about? Contending for the faith? Fighting the good fight of faith? Faith is a what? Fight. If you're going to grow the word of God, promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't, well, what if, what if, what if? And then the devil will come and bring a promotion. Look at this next one. He talks about the deceitfulness of riches. You know how that works? We've got a job for you, honey. Only problem is it's over in Florida, Orlando. We'll pay all your expenses, blah, 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 but we'll take you out of your destiny at the same time. And my brother and sister, Mike Murdoch, said something very powerful. In fact, I think it's in that book that we're promoting for Book of the Month. He said, where you are is as important as who you are. Dude, that is a rhema word. Where you are is as important as who you are. Who you associate, the Bible says, with. The companion of fools will be what? Foolish. The companion of wise people will be wise. A very famous, or rather, should I say, infamous guy died last week. A guy called Ian Brady. Most people have heard of him. A child killer from Yorkshire. And I felt sorry. If there's one person that I've ever felt sorry for, it's the woman who hooked up with him. Because she ended up doing life for killing children, and she died in Holloway Prison maybe, what, 8-10 years ago. And I just thought to myself, you know, easily impressionable, stupid, young female just looking out for company and just, you know, if I'd known what sort of animal he was, I never would have been around him at all, etc., etc. And whether she was culpable in it, I don't know. I mean, the courts have said that she was, and she served life for the murder of, I think, 5 or 6 children in North Yorkshire. It rocked Great Britain in the 1960s. And I just thought to myself, can you imagine if she'd been in some other place at the time? And met somebody who had, I don't know, just maybe an ordinary guy. She'd have had an ordinary life, been an ordinary housewife, probably raised 3 or 4 kids who's, you know, be, I don't know, doing like, I don't know, who knows what, bus driving or something just contributing towards the greatness of the nation. Where we are is as important as who we are. May God locate you in the right place in the mighty name of Jesus. You look what the Bible says concerning Elijah and the birds. Do you remember? He says, you go to the brook Cherith. He says, I'm going to send birds to feed you there. Supposing Elijah says, well, I don't really like the water at Cherith. The preacher dresses funny. I don't like his accent. Blah, blah, blah. You understand? Where would Elijah have been? He would have starved with the rest of the people in the famine that he caused by the words of his own mouth. Wow. The worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. How many of you, you've been a victim of the desires of other things? Most Bibles say actually the lusts of other things. And I'm glad in a way that this doesn't say lusts, because when you think lust, you automatically think sexual sin. Sexual sin can be a lust. But you know what? The desire to get rich or die trying can also be a lust. Major one. You both go back to Tottenham where I'm from. I could show you each door number on my road and tell you where the people are now. At least a quarter to a half of them are either dead or in prison. Why? the lusts of other things. See a car driving by, devil starts talking to you. There's no way you'll ever legitimately be able to afford something like that. But I can show you a way. Somebody pulled up to me. Did I tell you this story? Well, because after I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, I no longer wanted to rob banks, and I ended up working for a bank. Long story, but that's the edited version. And I was coming home from work one day, and a mate of mine pulled up in a car beside me. He hadn't seen me for maybe 6 or 7 years. And he winds down his window. "How you doing, bro?" I said, "Oh, wow, my brother, how you doing, sir?" "Yeah, great." He says, "Yeah, you're looking sharp. Where you been?" I said, "Well, I'm working now." He says, "Where do you work?" I said, "Lloyd's Bank." He says, "Ooh." He said, "Dude," he said, "do me a favor." He says, "We're always looking for where the good hits are." This is no word of a lie, as I live and breathe. He said, "We're always looking for where the good hits are." He said, if just let us know. You don't even have to give us much details. Just let us know the areas. We can do the rest." He said, "You would send you a nice present at Christmas. Sort you out. 30 big ones." Yeah. Imagine. What's that? That's the intense desire for other things. Right? What does it do to the word of God in a person's life? That's why Jesus says a good and understanding heart. Because some of us, you know, you have your foot in two camps. You got the, like, one foot in the gospel, and then you got your other foot in 50 cent. And which way are you going to go? Because these boats are going separate ways. And you end up doing the splits and really ended up with nothing except a sore crotch. That's the God's honest truth. Now, look at verse number 20. Let me just check. Hang on a second, because... Oh, yes, okay. Let me stay on verse 19 for a second. The Lord said this to me this morning. He said, all three of these things are designed to wear us out. Those three things, worries, they'll wear us out, wear and tear. Worry can wear a person out like nothing else. You ask any medical doctor, right? Oh my goodness, right? The worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, chasing the dollar, just chasing it. The desires for other things, entering in, choke out the word. Those three things are a master plan of the devil to wear us out. Now, lastly, this is the one I like for obvious reasons. If you haven't got the end of the story by now, then God help you. Verse number 20. Those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil. So we know from Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8 that it's a good and understanding heart, right? Do you see why God wants us to be good and understanding? So that we can be the growth medium for the seed of his word. We can produce it 30, 60, and 100-fold. And those are the ones. Just lift a hand to heaven and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, let this be me. These are the ones whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I love this. Get the seed of his word into the right environment, and it will grow. It will grow. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Three constituent parts. Seed, time, and harvest in a good and understanding heart. These are three master plans of the enemy. Ignorance, offendability, and distraction. If we can work on those three master plans, where is the master plan of the devil working against my life right now? Work it out. What am I worrying about? Who am I offended at? What am I ignorant of in relation to the word of God? Some people will fight you. Can you imagine? I can't get the ignorance of some people. Some people will fight you on whether God wants us to be healed, on God, on whether God wants us to be well, on whether God wants us to prosper. They will fight you as to whether God wants us to be ambassadors of Christ with all the richness of great living that comes with being an ambassador. May God forgive us of our ignorance in Jesus' mighty name. Let's stand to our feet. Let's thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Give him praise. If you're going to clap, clap him good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we thank you for the magnitude of your word. We thank you that the prophets from ancient times prophesied and declared things that were at that time impossible. That a virgin would give birth and would name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That God would be with us in human form. That he would live and shed his blood for us, for our sins. That we could be washed, made righteousness in his blood. That we, through his poverty, might be made rich. That we, through his wounding, might be healed. And that we, through his becoming sin, might become ambassadors. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this great mystery. We thank you for how the kingdom of God grows on the inside of us. That seed planted that produces fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in a heart that is free of distraction, free of offendability, and free of ignorance. Lord God, I pray that we'll work on our hearts, Lord God. Help us, Holy Spirit, to work on our hearts so that your word will always grow, that it will always produce that fruit which you've ordained it to produce. We're not here for no purpose. We're not here for no reason. We're here to show forth the mercies of our God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And where there's darkness, Father, where there's ignorance in our lives, Father, we pray that the light of your word will grow on, that it will go on, that we would know, Lord God, that you are good, that there's no shadow of turning or variation in you whatsoever. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor for your word today. We thank you for the privilege of it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen and amen.